for over 40 years. Right now at all nine Mr. Max stores, you'll find missionary packages that are pretty hard to beat. One Luca Rossi suit coat with two matching slacks, one pair of waterproof Rockport walking shoes, four wrinkle-free shirts, and three stain-resistant polyester ties, all for just $395. And they can fit you whether you're a size 34 or 56. With over 10,000 pantsuits in stock, it's not hard to get everything you need for your mission. As always, you'll get free expert alteration. And at Mr. Mac, they're trying to take care of sister missionaries, too. Come see the new selection of skirts and dresses and lightweight sweaters, with more items arriving weekly. When it's mission time, it's time for Mr. Mac, where nobody has more experience outfitting missionaries than Mr. Mac. Absolutely nobody.
Good afternoon, 12:03 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup, and this hour's top story is a nice story. Three Good Samaritans saved the lives of a Tooele couple after an accident on Highway 6 near Soldier Summit. Now they're saying thanks. George and Regina Semper became pinned as their car began to catch fire. That's when the men stopped and pulled them to safety. The Simpers are saying thanks to Jack Pinkney at this hour. He was one of those three rescuers and is visiting the couple at the hospital.
I got a phone call and some Facebook messages that said that this must be the story you had talked about. And when I saw George's face, it just made me want to make sure that he was okay, because he's been on my mind for the last 2 days.
Pinkney also described the men with him, including the Army medic who helped administer to the couple. KSL 5 is at the hospital. They'll have a report on this evening's news as the Simpers meet with their savior, so to speak. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced sister missionaries will now play larger leadership roles in each of the church's missions worldwide. Sister training leaders will serve on mission leadership councils. Young Women General President Sister Elaine S. Dalton says that in the context of a worldwide church, women must serve in all locales to determine the needs in different parts of the world. When it comes to questions about the priesthood, she says men may possess the authority, but women can and do possess the power of the priesthood, which guides them in their responsibilities. And Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints President Thomas S. Monson announced plans for two new temples during this morning's session of the 183rd Annual General Conference, as you just heard Mark Duke tell us. The two new temples will be constructed in Cedar City and in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. This afternoon's general session will be heard at 2 p.m. here on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Coming up on KSL News Radio, well, it's beginning to cloud up. Maybe that rain will be here after all. We'll have the Sunday forecast as well. KSL News Time, 12:06.
People talk about college like you're in some kind of bubble. Like there's college, and then there's the real world. But hey, this is UVU, where it's all about engaged learning. You're not just reading about it or watching someone else do it. You're learning by doing. If you left school a few credits short of your degree, now is a great time to come back. Enroll now to start your engaged learning experience at Utah Valley University. Learn more at uvu.edu/engage.
People talk about college like you're in some kind of bubble. Like there's college and then there's real life. But hey, this is UVU. You're not just reading about it or watching someone else do it. This is engaged learning. At the certificate, associate, bachelor's, or master's level, it doesn't get any more real life than this. Enroll today to start your engaged learning experience at Utah Valley University. Learn more at uvu.edu/engage.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. Heavy traffic in the downtown Salt Lake City area as people are making their way out of the morning session of conference, and some folks already arriving to park for the afternoon session. So be advised, the roads are busy out here on 3rd West. They've been bumper to bumper for the last little while just outside of Triad Center here at our KSL studios. Wasatch Front weather, for a pretty good chance of showers through the afternoon. 42 tonight, 60 today, 60 tomorrow, and then cooler with rain on Monday. Don't miss Linda's Furniture's conference weekend special. Save, pay no sales tax on sofas, dining, bedroom, and office. Get more with your decor at Linda's Furniture. Linda's, 3330 South Highland Drive in downtown Salt Lake City. It's 58 degrees at 1208. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Haven't seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing. I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty. My cupboard's bare. But call me illogical. I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, hey. It's a sunny
it's
day.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into the second session of the KSL Greenhouse for this conference weekend, as we'll have another 2 hours of Greenhouse this hour, and then we've got the second session, this afternoon session of the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And next week, Ton, you and Tim will be on location at Olson's Greenhouse. It's Container Fest. It's for
Container Fest. And Olson's usually picks a location in the community. And I believe this is at Home Depot at 124 South and Bangor Highway.
Yeah, that's the one. And you'll be there from, of course, 8 until 11 next week. It'll be your regular greenhouse festivities. And this hour, we want to start off the hour talking about water-wise perennials.
Yes, as we mentioned in the last session of the show, a perennial, when we're growing stuff in our yard, is usually something that you put in the ground, that you cut back in the fall, but it will come back for multiple years. And they're used very commonly in areas of the yard because of that convenience of not having to replant something every year. And one of the big parts of going to the garden center to decorate the yard, especially, you know, if you have a brand new yard, is picking these perennials out. And it can be quite the mystery when you show up and you see 200 or 300 or 400 different varieties and species sitting there to decide what to put where, and you can look at the tags and things and get a decent determination of what is out there. But there's a lot that should happen before you go and buy. And last week we talked a lot about this, but in briefly, do your research before you go to the garden center and kind of know what you're going to put where. Know the hotter areas of your yard, know where the shady areas are, areas that might be wetter, or you might have special conditions, and then you can plan around those. And it's important to remember that you're finding a plant to fit the location and not a location to fit the plant. And so in doing this, one of the problem spots that we often run into are those areas where the sprinklers may not hit quite as well, or areas that we've intentionally planned to have something that will survive with little water. There's actually a number of these perennials that will do quite well in that sort of a situation. And Kat, being efficient, has a fact sheet up on KSL.com right now on under the greenhouse page about some of the water-wise perennials out there. There's actually dozens, and I've selected out a few that are in this fact sheet that grow well along the Wasatch Front, and most of them in our mountains and valleys that I've watched and have been very impressed with. You know, it's not going to be anything comprehensive or, you know, it's just my, not really my thoughts and some opinion mixed in with the fact I've watched them grow for quite a while. And instead of going through every last one of these, because sometimes a list can get a little boring, I'll talk about two or three. And the first one I wanted to mention is called Hummingbird Mint. And this is a mint family plant. that will get about 2 feet tall, and it blooms from about July until frost. And the flowers on it are very fragrant. They do attract lots of pollinators to the yard. They attract hummingbirds in. And the flowers will could be anywhere from red to yellow to pink, and you can have all those different flower colors in the same cluster. And as I've watched this plant, I've watched a few species up in Logan, and in one spot, they've pretty much survived on rainwater. Now, I'm not saying that they'll do that everywhere, but very useful plant, and especially with the problems our pollinators and bees are having, anything we can do to help those out, this hummingbird mint is an excellent plant because it is so ornamental, but then you're also drawing those beneficial insects in to help in your yard, which an added benefit to that is a lot of times those insects will jump to your vegetable garden and help with things there. Now, another one I've been really impressed with along the Wasatch Front that may not do quite as well in the higher mountain valleys is called whirling butterflies, or gara. And this is a newer one that I've only seen around for the last 10 years or so, maybe 15 years, but it's one of the few perennials that will bloom from spring, from mid to late spring until first frost in fall. And the garas have really nice wispy flowers on them, and as the plant grows, it creates a great cottage garden look or even a prairie look, and the flowers just don't stop. You may need to go out and deadhead a little bit, but the gara comes in colors of red and white and pink. And so those are some pretty good perennials right there that will work in those water wise situations to where you either don't have the water or the sprinklers may not be hitting. But this fact sheet again is on KSL.com, and it lists 8 or 9 of my ones that I've used quite a bit and recommended quite a bit that have performed really well in different areas of northern Utah.
All right, and what else are we looking for as far as the spring planting goes? We've got a couple of minutes here. We can dive into that as we get you onto the phones at 570-5755 or 575-8255. We've got 470-5751 or 670-5751. Of course, put it in area code 801 in front of all those, and we'll be happy to take your calls in just a couple of minutes. What else do we have going on for spring planting?
Well, I've seen a lot of strawberries out in the garden centers just the last week or so, and there's lots of varieties out there. And I have a friend up in Cache Valley that is an avid gardener, and he grows lots of fruit trees and different things, and he actually will sell a roadside stand and out of his garage and different things like that. He also does a lot of other things. So anyway, I was talking to him about strawberries and raspberries, and I had a neighbor offering up free strawberries to me. And at first, I was all excited about this. I don't have to go buy them. And then I started to think a little bit. You know, strawberries will get viruses and other things in them. And I went and talked to my friend up here in Logan. I said, what would you do? Would you ever take or give strawberries away from your garden or for somebody else's? And he said, absolutely not. That's one of the biggest disservices that we can actually do to somebody, especially if they're really old strawberries, because they probably only produce half as much as they did when they were new, and they're already loaded up with diseases. And so when they plant those in their garden, they will potentially introduce all those diseases to that patch, and you won't be able to put more strawberries in there. And so as I saw these strawberries available at our local garden centers and farm stores, it just reinforced that importance to me to go ahead and get new strawberries. They're not that expensive, and make sure that they're certified virus free when you purchase them so that you can get the longest life you can get out of them. Now, the same holds true for raspberries. And that I generally do not like taking or giving raspberries away just because they potentially harbor diseases. The plants may look healthy, but over time these diseases and other things reduce yields and reduce the life of your patch. And if you're going to all that work to prep an area to put raspberries or strawberries in, it's worth the few extra dollars to go ahead and get those good plants that are certified virus-free and maximize the life of the plants that you put out in those gardens on those particular crops.
All right, let's take our first break here, and we'll be back with more of your questions at 575-8255. That's KSL Talk in Utah County, 470-5751, or in Weber, North Davis County, 670-5751. Back with more of the KSL Greenhouse coming up with your phone calls on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Village Inn knows it could be tough to eat a complete breakfast on the go, but stale muffins and a black cup of coffee can get, well, stale. So if you'd like a little variety, come into Village Inn for their new $5.99 Fresh Start Combos. Choose from their French toast, buttermilk pancakes, or a Belgian waffle with bacon strips or sausage links and eggs served any way you like it, all for just $5.99. The Fresh Start Combos at Village Inn, served Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. $5.99 for a limited time at participating locations. The hot, fresh, and delicious way to start your day.
Farmers, they're the lifeblood of America. The men and women who tackle the toughest jobs in the searing heat and the bitter cold to put clothes on our backs and food on our tables. They might do it quietly, but their influence is everywhere. And their genuine values inspire us to work hard and treat our neighbors well. Some might say farming is a thankless occupation, so that's why we're taking the time to say thanks. Farm Bureau Financial Services, protecting what matters most.
Every man was once a boy who works and plays, who endures and enjoys, who sacrifices and serves until that ordinary boy becomes an extraordinary man. The first in a two-volume biography, An Uncommon Life, shares the inspiring story of Elder L. Tom Perry, from his military service to his professional career to his personal home life. Learn about the man who allowed the Lord to lead him by the hand and carefully prepare him for an uncommon life. An Uncommon Life, available now at Deseret Book.
Relive the joy of primary with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir's new album, Teach Me to Walk in the Light, featuring moving arrangements of your favorite primary songs, including Call to Serve, Love One Another, I Am a Child of God, and many more. This music will bring out the sunbeam in all of us. Available at Deseret Book and iTunes.
Gaylord Karen here with Zero Res. We're going to have our biggest March we've ever had in our 10-year history. In 2012, we had an amazing 8,000 first-time customers choose Zero Res to clean their carpets. And our independent third-party customer response score has gone up over 20% compared to last year. That tells me that you folks can really see what makes us different. Read for yourself. Go to our website where we put every customer response we receive unedited. Check it out. Our empowered water cleans like no other carpet cleaner can because it leaves zero residue when it dries. And zero residue means carpets stay cleaner longer. So to help you get a start on spring cleaning, for a limited time, we're only charging $25 per area, up to 200 square feet per area, to pre-treat, clean, and sanitize. It's simple. It doesn't matter if you've got two rooms or 10. Each area will only be $25, but you have to book this week. We service everywhere from Ogden to Payson, from Tooele to Park City. So call us at 801-2880. That's 288-Z-E-R-O, just spell zero, or visit us online at zerores.com. Remember, Zero Res, spelled the same forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean.
With all the great venues in Utah to hold a youth conference or a family reunion, one destination you may not have considered is Snowbird Ski and Summer Resort. Snowbird has the structured turnkey activities to make any youth conference or family reunion a success. With world-class lodging, food, and recreation, you might think that Snowbird is too expensive, but the opposite is actually true. Snowbird has put together affordable packages that are packed full of adventure, from hiking through some of Utah's most beautiful scenery to hosting a guest speaker in one of Snowbird's many private meeting rooms, or enjoying the view from the aerial tram, or zipping down the newly added mountain coaster. Snowbird's sure to have exactly what you're looking for. Snowbird's ropes course and climbing wall are available to make your youth conference, family reunion, or group team building activity one that will be memorable for years to come. For more information on pricing and how you can begin your group adventure, call 1-800-882-4766 or visit snowbird.com for details.
The KSL Greenhouse. Become a master gardener, or at least make your neighbors jealous with KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the third hour of four. This week's KSL Greenhouse show, Todd Bettis from Utah State University Extension Office in studio, talking all things garden as we head right to the phones at 575-8255. Looks like Sheila and Sandy is our first caller out this time around, and we say good afternoon, Sheila. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Go ahead with your question.
I'm wondering what grows best in a shady area. I've got a really nice spot in it, but it's kind of shady most of the time. What would grow best there as far as fruits or vegetables or herbs?
As far as fruits and vegetables, one of the most shade-tolerant fruit plants out there are currants and gooseberries. They naturally grow in part shade. I grew up with them growing under fairly dense canopied apricot trees, and they always produced quite well. So those are known for that. If you have 4 or 5 hours of sunlight, some of the tomato varieties actually do well with part shade, but those would be the main two I know of.
Okay. So any particular kind of tomatoes or just any kind?
As long as you've got 5 or 6 hours of good sunlight, the tomatoes I've tried will at least bear moderately. They won't do what they would in full sun, but I've tried several varieties and all of them have performed about equally well.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
All right, thanks. As we head to Salt Lake City, and we've got Cammy waiting in line. Good afternoon, Cammy.
Hi. So I have a strawberry plant that the previous homeowners planted in a place that I don't really want it, and it produced pretty well last year, but I want to move it. I want to know what I need to do or if I can do that.
Well, it's going to require two things. One is some labor, and another one's a shovel. So as long as you've got both of those, you can go ahead and do that. The strawberry may not produce as much this year if you move it, but go ahead and dig that up and get as much of the root as you can and just put it in the new home, and it's still cool enough that the strawberry will reestablish and grow.
So I can go ahead and do that like right now?
Yes. The sooner the better.
Okay, perfect. That's my question then.
All right, thanks, Cammy. Let's check in with Russ in Bountiful. Russ, good afternoon. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Well, hello. How are you?
We're doing well. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. I have an old home that has, my whole yard is covered with grape hyacinths through the lawn, everywhere. How do I get rid of them?
That is a tough one to do. The grape hyacinth is one that you don't see it planted too often now, but it's a little purple flower that blooms about the same time as tulips and the daffodils. It will spread slowly, but it, because of the waxy coating on the leaves, it's hard to get an herbicide in there to kill it. And you can try a couple of products. A lot of the farm stores will carry a product called Sedgehammer that you can try. You want to follow the label on that, and you may have some luck with a product containing carfentrazone. And the carfentrazone is mainly only available to professionals, and you'd have to hire them to come out and spray it for you.
Okay.
And it may take multiple sprays at that.
Okay. Yeah, because they're all, I mean, springtime, my backyard is purple, then it goes yellow, then it goes green.
Yes, I'm familiar with the pattern. I've seen yards with that in there, and Star of Bethlehem bulb does about the same thing, and they can be miserable to deal with.
Okay, so try those two and see if I can get rid of them?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you.
Good luck.
All right, bye. Thanks, Russ. As we check in now, Bart, you're next up. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Thank you for taking my call. What I've got is I have a neighbor that on his side of the chain link fence has a wonderful yellow rose bush. It's about 7-8 feet tall. And I don't want to do anything to hurt it, but the roots come up or come underneath that chain link fence and up in my grass. And so, of course, we just mow over the top of it, but they're starting to become more. And so I was wondering what I could do to prevent that from coming up in my grass where my kids play without killing his pretty rose bush.
It is going to be a process that you may spend a couple of years, because if you do sever all the roots on that side of the plant, it would probably stress it greatly. I don't know that it would absolutely kill it, but it would cause undue stress. And so I would start with the most major root or two that you can find and take those out. And over a period of a year or two, as you slowly take those roots out, the only thing that's going to stop those is a really deep barrier that the roots can't penetrate. And I don't know that there's a perfect solution out there for that. And besides cement, or if you could find some corrugated aluminum or something that would go down 18 inches or 2 feet.
Okay. So if I were to dig on my side of the fence, kind of a trench down that far, and sever all those roots, I run the risk of stressing his plant out, or should I come, 2 feet from the fence and then dig down and put a barrier as you suggested?
The farther away you can get from that rose before you put your barrier in, the better, because that will save that many more roots that are in the soil.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea. I was afraid of using Roundup or something like that to, just spot kill it, fearing that it would go back to his plant. So just a nice dig, deep trench and cut the roots and let those die on my side and keep his plant nice on his side.
Yes, and that's going to be about the best you can do. You might want to talk to your neighbor if you've got a good relationship with them, especially, and just say, hey, I've got to do this. My kids are getting tripped up. Because if you go out, and there can be issues, legal issues, if you even unintentionally kill the neighbor's plant or something that you can get into. So the better the communication, or the more communication, the better in this situation.
I had not known that. The reason for being concerned about it is it has a lot of those little thorns on them.
Yes.
You get them in your hand, and they're hard to get out. So
they sure are. They are.
I'll mention that to him the next time we talk over the fence.
Very good.
All righty.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you for your suggestion.
All right, thank you. As we come back from our news, traffic, and weather update, we'll be talking with, looks like, Patty, also Heidi on the line, as well as Dixie, and your phone calls as well at 575-8255. That's KSL Talk, 470-5751 or 670-5751. Back with more of the KSL Greenhouse coming up next on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
To 1962, in a town called Granite Flats, where everyone is friendly and everything is normal. Almost.
There are things that need to stay secret.
You ever see anything like this?
Oh, sir, it's pretty space age.
She thought it was aliens.
Yes, she did.
Holy cow. G-Man.
Don't go getting paranoid on me, Johnny Sanders.
Watch Granite Flats, a new BYU TV original series, premiering tomorrow night at 4 and 6 on BYU TV.
Do you want the best-tasting, most nutritional vegetables from your garden this year? Miller Companies continues their tradition providing Utah with their high-quality Blue Ribbon products with their all-organic Miller's A to Z plant food and Miller Grow Compost Tea. Miller's A to Z mix is loaded with all the necessary nutrients, vitamins, and minerals for all your organic gardening and landscaping needs. Use it when you plant vegetables, herbs, flowers, trees, or shrubs. Continue to maintain the healthiest yard on the block with Miller's Compost Tea. This amazing product encourages healthy, lush plants and can even help revive a struggling plant while helping to rid the soil of nasty toxins. With Miller's A to Z mix and Miller Grow Compost Tea, you'll be the envy of the neighborhood with healthy plants and fewer pests. Check out all of Miller's top quality products at MillerCompaniesLC.com. You can purchase Miller's A to Z and liquid compost at Wasatch Shadows, Knowles Nursery, Mill Creek Gardens, and J&L Nursery. Grow the organic way with Miller's.
Good afternoon, 12:30 in the KSL 24-Hour Newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup. KSL's top local story this hour, the LDS Church has announced plans to build new temples. Church President Thomas S. Monson made the announcement during the church's general conference this morning.
It is my privilege this morning to announce two additional temples, which in coming months and years will be built in the following locations: Cedar City, Utah, and Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
The temple in Cedar City will be the 17th in Utah. The church has 170 temples in existence, construction, or in planning stages worldwide. Three heroes saved the lives of a Tooele couple after an accident on Highway 6 near Soldier Summit. Today, George and Regina Simper are saying thanks to one of the men. The Simpers became pinned as their car was catching fire. That's when the rescuers stopped and pulled them to safety. The Simpers met with Jack Pinkney, one of the three, at the hospital today.
I got a phone call and some Facebook messages that said that this must be the story you had talked about. And when I saw George's face, it just made me want to make sure that he was okay.
KSL 5 will have a report tonight at 5 p.m. The Simpers would still like to meet their other two heroes as well. A 21-year-old father of a 5-month-old boy is in jail for shooting and killing his son. A family member tackled Joshua Peterson as he attempted to shoot himself right after killing his 5-month-old son. American Fork Police Sergeant Greg Ludlow.
Through our investigation, we learned that Joshua's intent was to kill his son and then in turn kill himself.
A Peterson family friend told KSL that Joshua Peterson had been experiencing mental challenges and had been suffering from depression. Coming up on KSL News Radio, that precip's still out by the lake. We have some rain on the way. Sunday forecast coming up too. KSL News Time, 12:33.
Good, better, best. Good is choosing a certified public accountant to help you with your financial records and taxes. Better is one with experience and knowledge of your personal and business needs. Best is one who belongs to the Utah Association of CPAs. As you think about your tax return preparation this year, especially in the light of the confusing and always changing tax laws, consider this. CPAs will save you the most money on your taxes. CPAs are more competitive price-wise than the big box store preparation guys. CPAs are the most qualified to prepare your taxes and get you the most money back you deserve. Along with extensive tax expertise, CPAs can also provide you business advising, financial planning, general accounting, and investment advising. Hire a CPA and be sure you're getting the most out of your taxes. Go to uacpa.org to find a CPA that's right for you. That's uacpa.org. Brought to you by the Utah Association of CPAs.
Utah's number one commercial real estate company is now Newmark Grubb Acres. For 15 years, you've known them as NAI. As Newmark, they provide the best leasing, property management, and investment services. NAI is now Newmark Grubb Acres. Do you need more space? Are you relocating? Want to invest in commercial real estate? Do you need help negotiating your lease? Newmark Grubb Acres are the experts to help get you the information that you need for all your commercial real estate requirements. With over 100 local professionals, a comprehensive roster of services, and the strength of their proprietary research, Newmark Grubb Acres is positioned to cover every aspect of your commercial real estate. As the market experts, Newmark can save you time and money regarding your commercial real estate needs and allow you to focus on what you do best, run your business. Take advantage of their market knowledge today by calling one of their local professionals at 801-578-5555. That's 801-578-5555. Or visit them at ngacres.com. Newmark Grubb Acres. They're everywhere.
Excuse me?
May I help you?
Yeah, I think there may have been a mistake. See, I came to this pharmacy and instead of pills, you gave me this bag which contains a live badger.
Oh, I see. Well, just follow the badger instructions and you'll be fine.
What?
Don't pet the badger more often than directed.
Why would I pet the badger more often than directed?
Well, exactly. Next.
No. Look, I've got kids at home.
Oh, well, keep them away from the badger. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I know that.
Oh, good. And don't keep the badger around any longer than you need to.
But I don't need a badger.
Well, then I'm confused.
I have a prescription for pain pills.
Oh, I can't believe I did that again. You see, the instructions for prescription pain medications are exactly the same as for badgers. Don't use them more often than recommended. Keep them stored safely away from your kids and get rid of them when you no longer need them. They're dangerous.
Well, sounds like an easy mistake to make.
Well, tell me about it. For more information, visit useonlyasdirected.org. Oh, he is a snappy little thing, isn't he?
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller dealerships. Just busy in downtown Salt Lake around Temple Square and the Conference Center as people are coming and going from conference general sessions. The freeways all the way from Ogden down south and from east to west look to be in pretty good shape this afternoon. Wasatch Front weather, we have some rain moving in as we head into the afternoon hours and tonight 42, tomorrow rainy and 60. Before joint pain sidelines you, choose a healthcare plan that partners with Mountain Star Healthcare Network. Visit mountainstarhealth.com for a hospital or clinic near you. Mountain Star, not bigger, just better. It's 57 degrees at 12:36. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Call the KSL Greenhouse with your questions. We're at KSL Talk. That's 575-8255. And it's only on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into the KSL Greenhouse shows. We're going to jump right back into the phones. 575-8255. That's KSL Talk. And go to Taylorsville. Looks like Dixie waiting in the wings there. Good morning or good afternoon, Dixie.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a little problem with box elder bugs. In the last few days, when it's been very warm on the south side of my home, I discovered I have lots of box elder bugs, and I don't have any in my yard. I don't know where there are any box elder trees, but I have them, and I'm wondering if you can recommend what I can do to rid myself of them.
Box elder bugs, contrary to their name, don't just feed on box elder trees. They eat seeds that have a papery kind of attachment to them, and so linden trees, the box elder tree, other maples, or just a few of the even elms can attract the box elder bugs, and they're on the south side of your home because they're trying to get warm. They've been dormant all winter, and so they're just barely breaking their dormancy, coming out, and as the weather warms up a little bit, they'll fly out to new locations to look for food, and then in the fall they'll come back to those warm west and south parts of buildings and other areas similar to land and try to find places to go dormant. So how to get rid of them is they will most likely go away within a few weeks, but if they are such a nuisance that you need to do something, any general insecticide labeled to be sprayed on a building will help out. I generally recommend starting with the least toxic form and horticultural soap, which should be available from most of the local farm stores or garden centers, is one good option because it's basically it's not really soap that you'd wash your hands with, but it's chemically similar. And you can spray that horticultural soap and it will cause those box elder bugs to die. It only works on contact, but it also doesn't potentially poison anything that you don't want to, that may be accidentally sprayed or exposed.
Oh, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. And I want you to know I appreciate your show. I listen to it every week.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks again for your help.
Thank you, Dixie. Let's go to Sandy now and check in with Heidi. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi. How are you today?
We're doing well.
Good. Question. We have some spots in our lawn. I believe they're termed necrotic green spots. They're just kind of circular. We've got some different sizes, but they kind of turn yellow and we started having a problem with them last year, and they started to spread. And just wondering what there is available that we can help to treat those so they don't continue to spread and so we can get rid of them.
Are the spots, as they grow out, do you have basically a dead or a yellow ring, and the turf inside the ring is fairly healthy?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you're not seeing any mushrooms?
No.
It very well could be necrotic green spot, and it's very difficult to tell with a naked eye. And so if you wanted to be absolutely sure, let's see, you are in Sandy.
Yes.
So you could bring a sample into the Salt Lake County Extension Office in the county building.
Okay.
And J.D. Gunnell or Katie Wagner could look at that for you. They have a team of other folks that are good at this also to try to confirm, but it would most likely need to go to campus to one of the diagnosticians up there for an absolute diagnosis. And in the meantime, you can do a few things on your lawn to help at least minimize the damage. And these things would include mowing at a height of about 2.5 inches.
Okay.
And normally you would water deeply and less often, but necrotic ring spot, one way to minimize the damage is to water a little bit more frequently with less water. You don't want to water your lawn too much, so you create a swamp.
Right.
But the lawn's a little bit better able to recover if it has a little more available water there.
Okay.
And then also, when you fertilize, in this particular instance, it may be worth getting a complete fertilizer, and that's something with all three numbers there, so like a 24-5-10 or a 16-16-16, because having available nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium can also help the lawn recover more quickly.
Okay.
Now, as far as fungicides go, there are a number of them out there labeled, but the effectiveness can be very spotty.
Okay.
Because you're dealing with a soil-borne disease.
Okay.
And so if you go to any farm store or garden center, they will have two or three on the shelf that you can try. Professionals have access to a few that might be prohibitive for a homeowner because of their how expensive they are. And if you needed to, you could maybe turn to a professional to get something a little bit higher octane than what's available to you as a just a resident. Sure. If it doesn't happen to go away from using those methods.
Okay. And then in terms of like safety of those using the fungicides, you know, if we have children, what
generally once they're applied, watered in, and the grass dries, you're safe to walk on the lawn.
Okay.
Now, we'll readily admit if you read those pesticide bags that there's pages of warnings and you feel like that you are somehow putting toxic waste, which a lot of people would consider them, on your lawn. And so I'll leave that up to you if you want to do that, because oftentimes necrotic green spot over a period of a few years can be managed and will go away.
Uh-huh.
If you download Utah State University Extension's fact sheet on necrotic green spot and just Google USU and necrotic green spot, it'll detail all of this and more for you.
Do that.
Very good.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you so much for your time.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Heidi. We go to Lehigh now. Patty waiting there. Good morning. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Thank you. Appreciate you taking my call, and I love your show. We have some lilac bushes that are in the pots that we bought last year and never got planted. They are starting to bloom a little bit, so I'm wondering if it's better if we leave them in the pot till after they bloom, or is it better to put them in the ground now?
Have you kept those in your home?
No, they've been outside.
Okay. They must be just in a little bit warmer location than normal because the lilacs are just starting to bud out. Get them in a spot that they don't get exposed to frost. And when danger of frost is gone in early to mid-May, go ahead and plant those then.
Okay.
Check for spiraling roots in the pots, and if they are there, you don't need to totally break up the root balls, but you might take a sharp knife and cut on three or four sides of the root ball about a third of an inch in or a quarter of an inch in, just to make sure that those roots go out instead of circle.
Okay. All right. And then also I have a pussy willow tree that we planted last year that kind of slanted. We didn't get a pole in there to straighten it up, so now it's pretty slanted. Is now an okay time for us to try to move that, soak it and move it, or should we?
It is. Is it one of the kinds that are grafted and then it weeps down, kind of like a cousin it?
Yeah.
Okay. If it looks kind of like that weeping cousin it form, and I don't mean that it's ugly or anything, but that's just
right.
When visually that's the best way to describe it. Those oftentimes the top will grow faster than the trunk. And so you may be able to thin maybe 20 or 25% of those branches out to reduce the weight, but go ahead and stake that trunk for at least a year to make sure it doesn't topple over on you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you for your help.
You are welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Patty. As we head to Holiday now, good afternoon. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse. You've got Jared.
All right. Last year, fire blight was bad. I cut the daylights out of my trees. I think I got rid of most of it. What can I expect for this year? What do I do about it?
It depends on the weather when the trees are in blossom. Because the vast majority of the time that fire blight gets into, especially a pear or an apple tree, and those are the two trees that we're most concerned about, it enters through the blossoms. And so if we have wet weather while the trees are in blossom, and especially if it's warmer, that's when the danger is there. So during the time the trees are in blossom, if we are going to get rain, what you're going to want to apply is called an agricultural antibiotic. And most of these will have actually streptomycin, which you may have taken in the past for different ear infections and things. The other one that you sometimes find is oxytetracycline. But if you go into any of the local stores, again, the farm stores or garden centers, they will have an agricultural antibiotic to apply when they're in blossom. But that's about all you can do at this point, is apply when the trees are in flower so that you can hopefully prevent that bacteria from entering the plant.
I see. So it's only deadly when they're in blossom, and that's probably still a month away.
Yeah, 2 weeks to a month, depending on the location. And just keep an eye on things and watch for the rain. If you go to utahpests.usu.edu and then go to the IPM page, and that's I, and then P as in Peter, and M as in Mary. Subscribe to the updates, and Marion Murray, who monitors for this stuff, will get you down almost to the day that you need to apply that agricultural antibiotic, and if you do.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, Jared. We've got Tom on the line. We've also got Vicky, Jill, and Wendy as well. And we're going to take our break here, Ton, and we'll be back with more of the KSL Greenhouse in just a couple of minutes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Learn to prepare. Learn to protect. One storm can devastate a community. You know how isolating it can be if the worst happens. So make time to be ready. Utah Preparedness Expo will make it count. Saturday, April 13th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Southtown Expo Center. Make one stop and learn how to recover and respond in any emergency. A natural disaster can turn a community upside down. But of greater concern is you have children, grandparents, and pets who look to you for answers in times of trouble. We'll head to the expo and attend workshops, enjoy speakers, talk with emergency preparedness vendors, and see the latest advances in technology. The expo costs just $10, but you can save $2 when you visit utahprepared.org and enter the promo code PREPARED. utahprepared.org. Don't find yourself helpless. Learn to prepare. Learn to protect at the Utah Preparedness Expo. Spring to Logan for loads of family fun.
I've got spring fever so bad I can't stand it.
Me too. Let's get out of here.
Somewhere with tons to do.
Logan.
Logan. It's perfect for spring break.
In Logan, you'll find Baby Animal Days, April 4th through the 6th at the American West Heritage Center, with pony rides and train rides, food and games, all kinds of activities, and you can even see baby bears. In Logan, hotel and dinner for two starts at only $69.99.
I've already made plans for Logan this summer.
Awesome! Fishing, hiking in a national forest 5 minutes from downtown?
Plan on Utah Festival's summer performances, including Fiddler on the Roof, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Otello, and the Flying Dutchman. And tickets just went on sale.
Aren't you forgetting all the concerts, backstage tours, and classes?
No.
129 events in 32 days. Sprint to Logan for family fun. Log on to visitloganutah.com. That's visitloganutah.com.
Well, hi, neighbor. What are you doing with those pansies? They're so large and lush.
Oh, gee, thanks.
I was driving by and I had to stop and see how you got your lettuce so healthy.
Oh, it's so easy. All you do is...
You, down there, just spotted your exceptional asparagus plants. Please advise on growing procedure.
I said, all you do is...
Break it up, nothing to see here. Except this lawn. Ma'am, I'm going to need you to tell me how you got it so green.
I give everything in my lawn and garden the same thing. I use Oakdale Egg Farms Organic Compost. It gives my soil the nutrients to grow grass and plants like crazy.
Oakdale Egg Farms Organic Compost, huh? Thank you, ma'am.
Everyone, to the store!
Oakdale Egg Farms Organic Compost, the only Rodale-certified organic compost produced in Utah, and the official compost of Thanksgiving Point Gardens, one of the most beautiful gardens anywhere. You'll get great results with no chemicals, so it's safe for use around children and pets. Visit Oakdale.com to find out where you can purchase Oakdale Egg Farms Organic Compost.
Get help with annuals, container planting, and the greenest grass on the block. The KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the second session of the KSL Greenhouse Show for this conference weekend. Of course, we'll be going to the second session of the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at about 2 o'clock this afternoon. We also have a remote live broadcast. We're going to be for Container Fest with Olson's, and that's not going to be at Olson's. That's actually going to be at Home Depot at 124th and Bangor. That's next week. Tim and Ton will be there. TNT will be out there with all of your container gardening suggestions, and you can do it out there as well. Anything to add to that one, Ton?
Olson's does a great job on those container baskets. I see their products across the Wasatch Front. My brother actually used to drive for them when he was in college doing spring deliveries. I know they support the BOU students fairly well, you know, really well. And overall, I was even drove past Olson's greenhouses yesterday, and they do a fantastic job.
So we'll be out there next weekend on the KSL Greenhouse. And in the meantime, let's head to the phones to talk with David calling from Provo. David, welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
I have a large currant bush, and last year it gave a lot of flowers, had an abundance of flowers, but when the fruit when it was time for fruit, it was just really, really small and very few. How can I prune that to bush to get it to produce better?
The currant bushes, if you had lots of flowers and few fruit, that would boil down to a couple of different things. One of them is the flowers may have been impacted by frost, and that reduced the fruit, or you may require a cross-pollinator. Do you have more than one bush there?
Yes, we did.
Okay, good. So I suspect that you probably suffered a late frost or something similar that knocked those back. And then the currant fruit are just naturally small anyway. So as far as pruning, what you can do is you take out about 25% of the branches and you take the oldest branches out every year. And because the currants have a tendency to produce on branches that are between 1 and 3 years old, then as soon as they get out that 4 year and older, they produce fewer and fewer fruits. And so you can keep the size down a bit and maximize your production just by using that renewal pruning by taking 25% of the branches out of the base of the shrub.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You are welcome.
All right. Thanks, David. As we go to West Jordan now, Jill, welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. Is there a way that you can help me keep grass out of my flower beds? I've tried, like, the rubber edging. I've tried rocks. And it just, is there a secret that I don't know about?
Well, you've probably found out that the grass laughs at you when you put that rubber edging and the rocks down.
Yes.
And the reason for that is that the grass roots relatively deeply, 6 inches to sometimes a foot, and it goes right under. And the biggest issue or the biggest challenge is when you put flower beds next to Kentucky bluegrass, a lot of times the Kentucky bluegrass wins because of the nature of how it grows and why we use it as a turf. And so the best thing you can do at this point, if you can dig the grass out and get rid of it, that would avoid using a pesticide. If you need to, there are 2 or 3 of them out there that will selectively take grass out of most flowers, and they would be post or over the top. Then once you get that grass cleaned out, what you're going to need to do is either use just get a spade and edge the grass away, or get a Roundup type product and spray the edge of the flower bed 3 or 4 inches into the grass, and keep that sprayed out about once a month, or spade it out about once a month. And if you'll do that, the grass won't creep back in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you wanted to put a barrier in and you could theoretically find one, you would need to go between 6 inches and a foot deep to keep the grass out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
All right. Thank you. We got another couple of minutes. We can take care of Wendy in that time. Wendy, calling from Salt Lake City. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question. About 3 or 4 years ago, I planted some raspberry plants. I think they're Heritage. They're supposed to be everbearing. And they've all filled in, grown. I have this huge raspberry patch now, but the fruit doesn't form. I don't get any. Last year, I didn't get any raspberries.
Do you see flowers?
Yes.
So you're getting flowers, but no fruit. And so it's just zero whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, I got a few little, like, halfway formed raspberries, but not many at all.
And the halfway formed ones, did they seem to be scorched or extra white or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, and then how have the raspberries, if you're getting flowers and they should produce fruit, I was going to ask how they were pruned, but if you're getting flowers, something else is going on besides pruning that would knock that fruit out. I'm trying to think
for
what
pruning,
else.
I just cut them all, you know, like to about 18 inches is all I did.
And so you cut them back. If you cut them back to about 18 inches, that would mean you should get a heavy fall crop and not a late spring, early summer crop.
Okay.
Because you would be getting all your fruit off of new growth. And Heritage actually does blossom and produce fruit fairly late in the season. And for whatever reason, if you got an early frost or something, that would take the fruit out. Or just every once in a while, especially if those plants came from one of the neighbors or something, there could be some viruses or other things in there that aren't visually, you know, you can't see them visually, but would reduce the amount of fruit they produced.
Okay.
So what
I got my plants at a garden store.
Okay, that's good. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they were virus-free, but that you have a lot better chance of it.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that you could try. One of them is do not cut them back and leave the patch at about 4 feet late this fall, and then thin, you know, some of the bigger canes out and just leave them alone and see if you get a summer crop.
Okay.
And that would tell you if pruning or something was the problem. If you don't get a good summer crop, then there's something in the berries, and you might consider doing a new patch elsewhere with new canes and getting that one online in case this one doesn't produce for you.
Okay. So where you said online?
Excuse me. That was just a bad choice of words. Okay. So you can get a new patch going. You could definitely can order raspberries online. But, yeah, those are just a bad choice of words.
Okay, so where's the best place to buy them? Just, like, at a garden
center? Well, any garden center is fine as long as they're certified virus-free. I know of sometimes that folks will bring in canes and trade and stuff that were from their garden, and that's not always the best situation.
Yeah.
All right, Wendy, we're up against a hard break here. We need to break for our national and local news on KSL News Radio.
American history tells of the pioneers, but Utah history tells of the settling of a people who left their homes, left their families, left to find a better life. And the Daughters of Utah Pioneers Museum not only tells the story of Utah's history, it brings history alive to let it speak for itself. Daughters of Utah Pioneers will fascinate while it offers exceptional research into the world of those who came to and settled Utah. Find histories and photographs, then get set to hear history speak directly to you. Every first Wednesday of the month, join their historical music and stories. I'm a Pioneer, This Is My Story. Then be there for the third Wednesday of the month for a lecture from the Brigham Young family. Utah history is a study in triumph and perseverance. So join the Daughters of Utah Pioneers anytime and learn what came before you. That's the Daughters of Utah Pioneers Memorial Museum, 300 North Main Street, Salt Lake City. Daughters of Utah Pioneers Museum.
Every man was once a boy who works and plays, who endures and enjoys, who sacrifices and serves until that ordinary boy becomes an extraordinary man. The first in a two-volume biography, An Uncommon Life, shares the inspiring story of Elder L. Tom Perry, from his military service to his professional career to his personal home life. Learn about the man who allowed the Lord to lead him by the hand and carefully prepare him for an uncommon life. An Uncommon Life, available now at Deseret Book.
Relive the joy of primary with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir's new album, Teach Me to Walk in the Light, featuring moving arrangements of your favorite primary songs, including Call to Serve, Love One Another, I Am a Child of God, and many more. This music will bring out the sunbeam